Ohio State is still alive and playing tournament basketball, but unfortunately for Buckeye fans, it's the National Invitation Tournament Championship their team is chasing and not the NCAA Tournament Championship. Nonetheless, it's still great to be talking Buckeye basketball while they are alive and playing well with 11Warriors.com's Tim Shoemaker. Tim, good to talk to you one last time. How we doing?
I'm doing well, Nick. How are you, man?
I'm good. Good to talk to you one more time. Let's get back first to how Ohio State landed in the NIT. It all started in the Big Ten tournament against Penn State. It was a really tight game until Ohio State took control in the second half and held on to the win with some clutch free throw shooting. What were your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, it seems like every year Ohio State goes to the Big Ten tournament, the first game they play, no matter who it's against, is always, you know, somewhat competitive, somewhat close. And you know, Penn State was a team that Ohio State beat by 20 during the regular season, but got hot there in the first half of that game. I think they made 7 threes in the first half, and you know, really gave Ohio State some trouble. But you know, there, yeah, in the second half, it was you know, Jaquan Lyle and Mark Loving kind of somewhat took over the game there, and Jaquan especially, who really got rolling in the second half, and Ohio State was able to you know, squeak out a close one and move on to the quarterfinals.
Yeah, speaking of Jaquan Lyle, it's just tough to imagine or tough to remember about midway through the season when he was benched for a 3-game stretch because he was struggling so mightily, and he's become quite possibly the best player on the team now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the thing with Jaquan is I think he's probably the – I don't think there's much – he's the most talented player Ohio State has. And, you know, his best basketball is really, really good. It's just, you know, this year is his first year. He's a freshman, and he's been wildly inconsistent. You know, it's been a really up and down season for him, and you know, I think when he figures that out, you know, how to play high level basketball night in and night out, he's going to be a really good player at Ohio State. But you know, that happens to freshmen. You know, they deal with some stuff. A lot of it is, you know, the mental side of things. Just, you know, getting used to playing college basketball. And, you know, yeah, like you said, he was benched midway through the year just because he wasn't playing well. And I think Thad Mata wanted to kind of light a fire under him. And, you know, he's shown the capabilities to be a really, really good player. But, you know, he's also had games where he, you know, almost fails to show up. And that's the frustrating part for, I'm sure, fans and for Thad Mata as well, is just, you know, how do you get these guys to play at a consistent level night in and night out? And I think that's just something that comes with time. And I think Jaquan has learned a lot this year. And I think, you know, next year as a sophomore with a full season under his belt, I think you can expect pretty big things from him.
The win over Penn State set up another matchup with Michigan State for the Buckeyes, their third matchup in 17 days. And unfortunately, this was the worst beating they took in any of the three games, ending their hope of an NCAA tournament. It was nothing really surprising. You even said this last week when we talked that you did not anticipate Ohio State being able to beat Michigan State, and you could not have been more right. What were your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, I mean, that's Michigan State's just clearly a better team, and you know, it's not that. And Michigan State is my pick to win the national championship this year. They're just that good. And having seen them up close and personal 3 times here in the last 3 weeks, like they do everything well. And it's just a really bad matchup for Ohio State as well, being, you know, how Michigan State's roster is with, you know, it starts 3 guards with 2 big guys, and they just match up really, really well with Ohio State. And there's a huge talent difference as well. But in this game, I think it was like a 6-point game at halftime, something like that. And it was kind of – Ohio State kind of uglied the game up a little bit. They defended decently against Michigan State there in the first half. But coming out of the locker room in the second half, I think Michigan State scored the first 8 points within like a minute, 30 seconds. And all of a sudden, Ohio State was down 15. And, you know, it was pretty much over from there. And, you know, Michigan State hit some shots there in the second half, which, I mean, it's really, really hard to get them to play out of character for 40 full minutes. You might get them for a half, like Ohio State kind of did there in the first half. But you know, they're going to adjust, and they're going to still run their offense, and they have probably, you know, my opinion, the best player in the country with a really good supporting cast, and they're just better than Ohio State, and you know, everything would have had to go right for Ohio State, and everything would have had to go wrong for Michigan State for the Buckeyes to win, and that clearly wasn't the case.
There's a great series and kind of a budding rivalry between Ohio State and Michigan State since Thad Matta has been with the Buckeyes. I think going into this year, the overall win-loss was just one game in favor of Michigan State, and the point differential was like 1 or 2 points, something crazy like that. Now after these three losses and about a 60-point differential between the three, Ohio State has a little bit of catching up to do in the series.
Yeah, I mean, and that's just, you know, that's just the way it goes sometimes with things. You know, it was tied for the first, very close for the first 11 years. And then, you know, in year 12, you know, Thad probably has his worst team at Ohio State, or maybe second worst, you know, one of his not as great teams. And Tom Izzo has one of his best, you know what I mean? And it kind of just sets the series apart a little bit. And, you know, Izzo said, this is the fourth time he's felt he's got a team that's good enough to win the national title, and you know he's got one. The other two didn't get it done, so we'll see if this Michigan State team can win a title.
We're talking with Tim Shoemaker here on the Northwest Ohio Orthopedic Sports Huddle on Mix 96.7 and ESPN 1430 WFOB. If you're a Buckeye basketball or even football fan, Tim covers both really for 11Warriors.com. Find him on Twitter at Tim Shoemaker. 11Warriors is on Facebook at facebook.com/11Warriors. They're on Twitter as well at 11W. And you can just go straight to the source like I often do, 11Warriors.com. Tim, then it was a pretty uneventful Selection Sunday for the Buckeyes, and as you predicted, Tim, Ohio State wasn't going to get a 1 seed in the NIT, but did get a pretty decent 3 seed in the NIT with a matchup against Akron. After everything that played out and the snubs and everything, did you feel that the 3 seed was a pretty fair draw in the end?
Oh, yeah. I think I told you last week I thought they were probably going to be a 2 or a 3 seed. In the NIT, and when it comes down to it, I think Ohio State's probably one of the better teams in the tournament. Obviously, I'm not as up to date with the NIT teams and all of them and all their seasons and whatnot, but I think the 3 seeding is fair just based on NCAA tournament resume. Ohio State had 20 wins, but only I think beat 3 teams that made the NCAA tournament this season, so I think a 3 seed was fair, even though I think maybe they're probably one of the top 4 or 5 teams in the entire thing. That other teams had better resumes, they were closer to making the NCAA tournament, and I think that's kind of how they seed the teams in the NIT.
Ohio State got things started, really didn't have a whole lot of time to turn around from just being told when and where they were playing. They had about 48 hours, probably even less, between finding out when and where they were playing and then actually playing the game. Got started against Akron last night, and despite LeBron rooting against them, it did take overtime to defeat the Zips. Thad Matta having the utmost praise of this Zips team, which was inarguably the best team in the MAC and really had a good squad this year. LeBron's former high school coach is their head coach, but took everything the Buckeyes had, and then overtime for them to defeat the Zips. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, when Ohio State plays in the NIT, the obvious concern for fans and for the coaches is that they don't care about playing in the NIT because it's the NIT, and Ohio State's grown so accustomed to playing in the NCAA tournament, and I think that kind of showed early on, especially in the first half. It wasn't like Ohio State didn't really. It looked like Ohio State didn't really care much about it, and Akron, I mean, they were obviously fueled by. Many thought that they had at least an argument to make the NCAA tournament because I think they were like 34th in the RPI and won their league outright and had 20-something wins and had a really good season. And there's always when you play Ohio State as an in-state school, there's always also that extra, you know, added motivation from being the quote-unquote smaller school in Ohio. So there was certainly the, you know, Akron was going to be fired up to play the game in Ohio State. You know, you had to wonder if they really cared at all to be there, being that it's the NIT. And I think that they had to get over that first kind of hurdle. And you know, as an athlete, as a competitor, when you're in a competitive game, you know, you're that kind of just takes over your body. But, you know, it's more the concern is more about, you know, how you practice leading up to it, how you watch film, all that kind of stuff, if you're the same locked in as you are during the regular season. And I think Ohio State was kind of sluggish to start that game. And, you know, Akron just came out, and I don't even think they played particularly well in the first half. They shoot a lot of threes, and I think they shot 42 last night.
Yeah, they averaged 30, and they topped that by 12.
Yeah, and they certainly let it fly. And, you know, they came out, and I think they only made 9, which I think, you know, 9 of 42 was like the second worst or worst three-point percentage they'd shot all season. So Akron didn't really play all that well, but Ohio State kind of, I think, at halftime realized, hey, you know, we don't want to go out like this. We don't want to lose a game on our home floor to Akron in the first round of the NIT. That would be a pretty bad look for a team that's, you know, had such an up and down season. And I think they finally realized, you could see, you know, the players were into the game in the second half. They were showing emotion, which, you know, it's not a lot that you see that in the NIT sometimes, especially in an opening round game. So I think that I think Ohio State genuinely does care, and now that they've got the first game out of the way, I think they'll be, you know, locked in a little bit here, and hopefully, you know, for them, they want to make a deep run in this tournament, because they want to keep practicing, they want to keep playing games, they want to keep you know, watching film and growing and stuff, because, you know, as we said all along, this season is really all about building for next year and the year after that. So that's, you know, the more games, the more practices you get, the better.
And one more thing on the Akron game, Tim. Don't look now, but this Ohio State team that was horrendous at times at the free throw line is now killing teams and putting them away in the final minutes from the charity stripe.
Yeah, I mean, and people made a huge deal of Ohio State's free throw struggles at the beginning and midway through the season, and I think it was valid. But a lot of those came, you know, it's amazing what happens, I guess, when the good free throw shooters are the ones who are shooting the free throws. You know, Jayshon Tate was not a great free throw shooter, and he's obviously hurt now and not playing. And Daniel Giddens, he made 2 last night, which was crazy, but he hasn't really shot a ton here over the last, you know, the better part of the second half of the season. So, you know, when you get Mark Loving, you get Kata Bates-Diop, you get Cam Williams to the line. You know, Kata didn't play last night, obviously, but he's one of the bigger or better free throw shooters on the team. And Jaquan Lyle has certainly looked like he's improved at the stripe. Trevor Thompson, their starting center, is a decent free throw shooter for a big guy. So when you get Loving and Bates-Diop and improved Lyle now to the line, and they're shooting the majority of the free throws, you know, they're making more and they're shooting at a higher percentage. So you know, you kind of take Jayshon out of that, and he was one who shot a large portion of their free throws. It seems like the team's free throw percentage goes up. So, yeah, they made some clutch ones last night. I think they were, 21 of 23, something like that?
Yeah, it's something absurd.
Yeah, which is, you know, obviously that's even way better than normal for them. And Acker, I think, was 8 of 20 from the stripe. So that was a huge difference in last night's game.
And because the number 2-seeded Florida Gators home court is under construction, instead of playing on the road for their next game, Florida and Ohio State will play at the Shot Sunday at noon. What are your thoughts on that matchup?
Yeah, that's you know, that's just the way the NIT goes sometimes. Ohio State gets the 3-seed and gets to host the number 2-seed. I think it's a good matchup. You know, Florida obviously had a down season. Kind of somewhat like Ohio State did this year.
Billy Donovan's not there.
Yeah, right. His first year not, you know, coaching there. I think that was probably somewhat expected. But, you know, it'll be good for Ohio State to, you know, not that, because I think, you know, Akron's probably just as good, but it'll be good for Ohio State to get a matchup with a team that's, you know, got kids from a Power Five conference athletically. They'll match up with Ohio State, and I think the Buckeyes were a little thin last night without Kade Bates-Diop. They only played seven guys. Three guys played at least 44 minutes, so their fatigue is wearing them a little bit, I think. So these days off here will be big for them, considering they just came off a Big Ten tournament run. So yeah, I think it'll be a good matchup, good for Ohio State, and obviously they want to keep winning, and the goal is obviously to win this entire thing like they did back in 08.
And remember, you can catch that game. That's Florida at Ohio State in the second round of the NIT. That'll be Sunday at noon. Pregame will start at 11:30 on ESPN 1430 WFOB. A couple more questions for you, Tim, before we let you go. Let's shift things to the football side. Again, we're speaking with Tim Shoemaker, Ohio State basketball beat reporter for 11Warriors.com via the Frickers Huddle Hotline here on Mix 96.7 and ESPN 1430 WFOB. We kind of previewed it a little bit the last time we talked, but Ohio State had their pro day on Friday. I was actually down in Columbus covering a local girls' high school basketball team down there in the shot, and I could sense all the media just going to the Woody Hayes and everything, so I can only imagine how crazy it was. So if you could, being somebody that was there along with Eric, just what was the scene like, and what stuck out to you in terms of any one or a few players that did really well or poorly for themselves?
Yeah, it was just it was kind of just unlike anything I've ever seen. It was there were so many people there, all 32 NFL teams, 130 some NFL personnel, just to watch these 22 Ohio State players, majority of which were from this past year's team, but a couple came back from the 2014 group. It was a huge spectacle, I saw a couple stories, people quoting NFL people saying it was the biggest pro day they've ever seen. And I think there were a couple guys who wanted to, improve on their combine performance. Braxton Miller wanted to run the 40-yard dash because I think he was disappointed with how, his 4.50 time that he ran at the combine, which I think kind of surprised a lot of people. And I think he ran like a 4.3 something that they had, most people had him timed at. So, if that's accurate, then that's obviously a really good time. And I think the most people were maybe intrigued to see Cardale Jones throw the ball, because he didn't get to do that in Indianapolis because he got hurt running the 40-yard dash. So he went through an intense, George Whitfield led workout, throwing to his own guys, and looked pretty good. He's Cardale's got obviously all the arm talent in the world. There's questions about his accuracy and all that stuff, and he missed some throws, but overall he had a pretty decent day, I thought. And a lot of people were interested to see his arm in person, because a lot of them haven't, they've only watched game tape, they haven't seen it up close. And as a guy who's been around Cardale the last 2 years, seeing him throw the ball in person is pretty unique, because he's got a cannon for an arm, and it's a top level. He's got top level arm strength. So I think a lot of people were interested to see him throw the ball.
Yeah, definitely has got a howitzer there. And one real quick question before I let you go, Tim. Final Four. You mentioned you have Michigan State winning it all. If you would share with us who you got in your Final Four.
Yeah, I've got Michigan State. I've got Kansas. I've got Oklahoma, and I've got Kentucky as my Final Four this year. I was torn a little bit. I think I picked Michigan State over Oklahoma in the national championship game. I was pretty high on Kentucky, going into before the draw was set, and then they got placed. They have a brutal path to get to the Final Four.
Indiana and UNC,
and then West Virginia potentially. Like that's not fun for anybody. So I was very hesitant to go with it, just because I think that potential Kentucky Indiana game in the second round, I would not be surprised at all if Indiana won that game, because I actually you know, thought Indiana could advance deep into this tournament, but I was just forced to pick. I was forced to pick one of them in the round of 32, and I went with Kentucky. So I think there are some regions that are easier than others. I think the East region, which, you know, has Carolina and Kentucky and Indiana and all them in that one, I think that's by far the toughest one. And I just think Michigan State's the best team. I think Kansas has a pretty, not easy, but favorable draw, I guess, to get to the Final Four. And I think probably Kansas and Michigan State are probably the two best teams, so I've got them both there. And I think this is just Michigan State's year. I don't know. You know, I guess I'll never be surprised with anything that happens in the NCAA tournament, but I just don't know who beats Michigan State this year.
I was about to accuse you of going too chalk, but you redeemed yourself with the Kentucky pick. I'm pretty high on Maryland, but as you said, nobody really knows anything when it comes to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, that was – I almost picked – I really – like I've said this all year with Maryland, like I think their ceiling is as high, if not higher, than anybody's in the country. And I think their starting five is arguably the best in the country as well. They just don't – it just hasn't been there all season for me outside of a few games. You know, I was tempted to pick Maryland to beat Kansas because I think that could be a really, really fun game. And I ultimately probably would say that if that happens in the Sweet 16 there, you know, the winner of that game would be my pick to go to the Final Four. I just think Kansas is more likely to be consistent and win four games and get to the Final Four.
Yeah,
that's why I went that route.
Yeah, we'll have to see. It's always a great time of year. He's Tim Shoemaker, Buckeye basketball beat reporter for 11Warriors.com. Nice enough to come on with us one final time, as he has been doing each and every week, giving us fabulous insight on Buckeye hoops. Tim, from all of us here in Northwest Ohio, thank you so much for taking the time each and every week to come on with us. And I can't tell you how much we appreciate it. We wish you the best, and hopefully we can pick this back up next year with a Buckeye team well on their way to the NCAA tournament.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Nick.
All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. You're listening to the Northwest Ohio Orthopedic Sports Huddle on Mix 96.7 and ESPN 1430 WFOB.